Francis recently traveled to Indonesia, and he expressed the typical religious indifferentism that characterizes the Vatican II sect, the Vatican II apostasy, and the Vatican II antipopes. As our material explains, the Vatican II sect under Antipope Francis is not the Catholic Church, but the prophesied end times counterchurch. Among other things, Francis gave a quote blessing that he said is valid for all people regardless of their religion.
I'll give a benediction. So everyone in your own way, give thanks. Benediction, the blessing is always valid for all religions.
It did not include the sign of the cross or any reference to Jesus Christ or the Holy Trinity. Thus, Francis denied Jesus Christ indeed. His action also contradicted Colossians 3:17, quote, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him," end quote.
Given the fact that there are people from different religions, he hasn't used the sign of the cross.
Francis also stated, quote, "We are from different religions, but we have only one God," end quote.
We are from different religions, but we have only one God. Every one of you, I'll give a benediction. So everyone in your own way, give thanks. Benediction, the blessing is always valid for all religions.
That is false. Those who deny Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity do not worship the one true God and do not have God the Father. 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Antipope Francis preaches a false gospel. Francis also encouraged everyone, including the non-Christians, to give thanks in their own way.
I'll give a benediction. So everyone in your own way, give thanks. Benediction, the blessing is always valid for all religions.
That is heresy because he's endorsing false worship and encouraging them to engage in it. One could analyze in more detail Francis's various expressions of religious indifferentism on this trip, but he does this kind of thing all the time. Antipopes Benedict XVI and John Paul II also did this kind of thing on a regular basis, as we documented in detail for many years. These actions of religious indifferentism by the Vatican II antipopes and related actions of false ecumenism, which constitute a denial of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith, really represent the meat of the end times Vatican II apostasy, and they will convict the defenders of the Vatican II antipopes on the Day of Judgment. I also want to point out that in the Bible, the verb to bless can simply mean to will the good of another. In that biblical sense, to charitably admonish or rebuke a sinner, or to pray for his conversion, would be to bless him. That's how one can bless an enemy or a wicked person in that biblical sense, by willing his ultimate good through his conversion, etc. However, to bless in a liturgical context signifies something more. A liturgical blessing formally sets a person aside in their current state as capable of receiving special help or favor from God. But those who manifest grave sin or practice a false religion are rebelling against God in their current state and thus are incapable of receiving such special favor or help by a liturgical blessing. Those people need to stop being disobedient or unbelieving before they can receive such a blessing. To liturgically bless those who manifestly deny or disobey God is to insult God, because it implies that God will deny himself, that is, that he will assist people who are manifestly rejecting the only way in which they can be assisted, that is, by believing and obeying him. Hence, 2 John 10-11 says, quote, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into the house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works," end quote. That's why the Church does not confer liturgical blessings on those who manifest grave disobedience or unbelief. So, in addition to his various expressions of apostasy which further prove that he's obviously not the Pope, Antipope Francis's action of trying to liturgically bless adherents of all religions is another manifestation of his departure from the Catholic faith. Here's a section from our video called A Prophetic Message Against Francis's Same-Sex Quote Blessings, which covers Catholic and papal teaching against blessing those who manifest grave disobedience. Now, there's another huge aspect of this issue that defenders and even many critics of Fiducia Supplicans are missing. That is, even if you argue, as the antipope splainers do, that what Antipope Francis approved is not blessing the homosexual union itself, but rather the homosexual persons in the union.
So we are talking about the blessing of persons of the couple, not of the union itself. Not of the couple's union, but of the persons within the couple.
Your position is, first of all, a lie, as we've shown. because Francis approved blessing the couple, and the couple signifies the homosexual relationship / union. But secondly, you're missing another key point, which is that it's immoral to bless even just the homosexual persons who manifest that they are part of a homosexual couple. Let me repeat that. Such persons must not be blessed. This point has been overlooked by almost everyone who has commented on Fiducia Supplicans, even its critics. Many of them will say things like, any person may receive a blessing, but the couple must not be blessed.
I don't have a problem with blessing any individual on earth. I don't care if they're in Hamas or whatever. Like, if they want a priest to bless them, like, let's give some grace to that person. So no matter who you're attracted to, we all need blessings from God to live out the Christian life. Amen?
No, they are granting too much. The church does not teach that any person in any situation may be blessed, and I want to cite papal authority on this matter. I've read all 9 books of Pope St. Gregory VII's register, as well as what are called his wandering epistles. St. Gregory VII was one of the greatest popes in church history. In his letters, he repeatedly indicates that he will not give blessings to people who manifest disobedience. He indicates that he's unable to do so, lest he violate God's law. Before quoting him, I want to make a distinction. When a context is good, such as at a true mass or when Catholics are on a pilgrimage, or in a similar context, a priest could justifiably bless a group of people, not knowing the personal actions each person of the group engages in at other times, because in the context in which the blessing is conferred, there's no manifestation of disobedience or connection to grave sin. But in a context in which a person is sinning gravely or manifesting grave disobedience to the church or the law of God, such as when two people identify as part of a gay couple, it's absolutely forbidden and gravely sinful to give such a person or persons a blessing. Blessing the person or persons in that situation signifies that that person or those persons are capable of sanctification or God's favor while engaging in grave disobedience to God. Hence, such persons must not be blessed. This should be obvious. We also find this principle applied in the Rule of St. Benedict, chapter 25, by the way, quote, a brother guilty of a serious fault should not be blessed by anyone passing by, end quote. But here are some quotes from Pope St. Gregory VII which further illustrate the Catholic principle that gravely disobedient persons are not to be blessed. The final quote is particularly interesting and I believe prophetic. Pope St. Gregory VII to the clerks of Romans, March 21st, 1077, quote, as sacred authority demands, we have omitted to send you greeting and apostolic blessing, as is customary on account of the excommunication that you have not feared to incur for your offenses, end quote. Here the Pope says that sacred authority doesn't allow him to give an apostolic blessing to the excommunicated. This applies not just to the excommunicated, as we will see, but to anyone, including a member of the faithful, who manifests grave disobedience. Pope St. Gregory VII to Bishop Hubert, late 1080. Greeting an apostolic blessing if he does not knowingly resist the decrees of the apostolic see, end quote. Notice, one must be obedient to receive the blessing. Pope St. Gregory VII to the clergy and people of a church in France, 1082. To the clergy and people of the church, and especially to the excellent Count Robert, greeting an apostolic blessing if they are obedient, end quote. Notice again, those who are disobedient are not blessed. Pope St. Gregory VII to the canons of St. Martin, quote, because we have heard that you have not obeyed our legates, and your archbishop, but rather have driven the archbishop out, and because we have learned that for your fault you have been excommunicated by them, we have not dared to send you our greeting and apostolic blessing, end quote. Pope St. Gregory VII to King Henry IV, 1075, if this report is so, you yourself know that you can receive the grace of neither a divine nor an apostolic benediction blessing, unless those who have been excommunicated have been banished from you and constrained to do penance. And you have first received absolution and pardon for your transgression with appropriate sorrow and satisfaction, end quote. We could quote other passages from the same Pope, but consider this one in particular. It's prophetic. Pope St. Gregory VII to the faithful of Italy and Germany, 1079, quote, Gregory Bishop, servant of the servants of God, to all who show due obedience to St. Peter, throughout the whole kingdom of Italy and of Germany, greeting and apostolic blessing. As for priests, deacons, and subdeacons who are guilty of the crime of fornication, on behalf of Almighty God and by the authority of St. Peter, we forbid them entry into the church until they repent and amend their ways. Should any prefer to remain in their sin, let none of you dare to hear their offices, for their blessing is made a curse and their prayer a sin, as the Lord testifies through the prophet who says, I will curse your blessings, Malachi 2:2, end quote. This is fascinating. Pope St. Gregory VII cites Malachi 2:2 about God cursing blessings that are offered by people who are implicated in fornication or sexual sins. That, of course, applies directly, and I believe prophetically, to Antipope Francis's declaration, Fiducia Supplicans, which specifically allows people living in fornication and adultery, that is, couples in irregular situations, as well as same-sex, quote, couples, to be blessed. Those, quote, priests thereby become implicated by way of approval in the crime of fornication and sexual sins, and thus their, quote, blessings become curses, exactly as Pope St. Gregory VII said, citing the prophet Malachi. So where is the true Catholic Church and a true Pope speaking with the voice of St. Peter to defend the Christian faith? Absolutely excludes those who are manifestly implicated in fornication from blessings and sends them away until they repent and amend their lives and are willing to confess. The apocalyptic Vatican II counterchurch does the opposite. It gives people who are implicated in fornication and adultery, and what's even worse, homosexual activity and unnatural acts, blessings. Those, quote, blessings of the Vatican II counterchurch thus become curses, as Malachi said. Also notice that this letter of Pope St. Gregory VII was addressed to the faithful of Italy and Germany. I don't believe that's just a coincidence. I believe it was providential and prophetic, for in which two countries are the, quote, blessings of same-sex couples, as well as those living in adultery and fornication, most notorious? The answer is in Italy and Germany. They have been most notorious in Germany, of course, as a consequence of what their fake bishops have been doing for some time in that regard.
Turning to Germany, the country's top bishop is explicitly condoning sexual sin. Limburg's Bishop Georg Betzing, president of the German Bishops' Conference, published a so-called sex education guide last week, promoting the blessing of homosexual couples.
Now they are even more notorious in Italy because Antipope Francis, the current leader of the apocalyptic Whore of Babylon, has just formally approved them in Rome, Italy, for the entire counterchurch. Pope St. Gregory VII's citation of Malachi 2:2 in this context was also prophetic. Although God's statement in Malachi 2:2, "I will curse your blessings," applied to that period of the Old Testament, I believe it applies even more profoundly to what Antipope Francis just did in front of the entire world and to this apocalyptic period. Malachi is the last of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. He represents, in some ways, the end of a covenant. The final chapter of his book also foretells the end of the world. Malachi 4:1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble." In chapter 2 of this prophetic book, God addresses priests who have violated the covenant by disobedience and profaned the sanctuary by idolatry and abominations. The Vatican II sect and its false priests have done precisely that in the New Covenant period. In Malachi 2, God tells those priests who have violated the covenant and profaned the sanctuary, "I will curse your blessings." And now the entire world is hearing about Antipope Francis's approval of, quote, blessings for same-sex couples, as well as those living in fornication and adultery, an abomination in God's sight, which can only bring about a major curse.